You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Geeked Out on PodcastJuice.net. My name is Michael Dean, and we've got a special guest on Geeked Out today, Mr. Day Droppin. How are you, sir?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good.
Not off and on here, but I'm glad I'm here today.
Yeah, the force is strong with you, I heard, so I definitely wanted to bring you on this.
Yes.
And let's also welcome in Mr. Big Sexy and Sack. How are you, sir?
I'm well, my brothers. I'm well. Let's do a little Star Wars today.
Yes. Mr. Aunt Pooh, how are you, sir?
I am doing great. How about you guys?
Doing good. I have one question for you, though. Will you bleed? I don't know if I said that.
Lord. This is why we can't be great.
You stole my intro.
Uh-oh, sorry. Mr. Sean Hill, how are you, sir?
Well, I'll go ahead and say it. If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Oh, there you go.
I'm doing well.
All right.
I'm actually just ready to get into Star Wars myself. I'm actually geeked out for this.
There we go. I love it. So let's just start it right off. The second trailer for Star Wars, The Force Awakens, debuted this week. It debuted at the Star Wars Celebration that is currently ongoing as we record this. It's in Anaheim, California. Ernie, I'm curious. Well, how far away is this situation from you, Ernie? I know you're in California.
Me? From Anaheim?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, I'm way, way, way Southern California. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Sean's closer than I am. Way closer than me.
Okay.
Well, Anaheim's like 30, 45 minutes.
Oh, well, there you go. So Star Wars Celebration is ongoing. We're getting a lot of information about the new movie that comes out this December. But we're going to start talking about the trailer that debuted. And we're going to start with our guest, Mr. Day Droppin. Man, what did you think of this new trailer?
Well, like we were talking about earlier, when I found out about it, I was at lunch with my wife and some friends of hers. And, so not to be rude, when I was watching it, I was watching it muted. Later on, I saw it. And, you know, even watching it muted, my eyes were bugging. And when I got back to work, you know, I got to watch it full screen right there, 1080p, and with my headphones and everything, so I could blast it as loud as I needed to. And I was just awestruck. I mean, if I like the first teaser, first of all, this is how you do a teaser. You know, they teased me with that? I mean, jeez, I mean, I can't talk much about it. It's that, you know? I ain't gonna lie. When I was watching it, you get to the last few seconds. Yeah, I teared up. I got geek boy. I got geek boy on that, and to the point where I go, oh, I'm gonna go on YouTube and see reaction videos of this. I mean, I had to, and I geeked out when I saw that too. I mean, it's wow. Yeah, man. You know, I'm a kid again. And I like that. I don't see so either it's really good now, or I just don't see so much CGI like I used to. And
no, that's a good point.
And it's so awesome, and I love that.
All right, anything that stood out for you?
Oh, geez, just the opening shot with the Star Destroyer right there sunken in with the dirt piling up on the side, telling you it's been there forever. Let's see, Luke saying my father has it, as in present tense. The stuff, all the explosions going on, and the Falcon. Come on now, you can't not see the Falcon and not have some kind of happy thought, do a happy dance when you see the Millennium Falcon going into the turret of a down Star Destroyer. Man, that's the stuff right there. And then the same angle. Oh yeah, that's the same upward angle of that stormtrooper pilot, like they did in the original Star Wars, that lower upward angle on when he's in there and the shadows and the light shining on him. I just got flashbacks of Episode 4 when I saw that. And it was done right. It was done right. And I'm feeling very good things about this. And the Force is indeed strong with this one.
Nice. Aunt Pooh, what were your takeaways?
Well, one of the things that I wanted to... you say what stood out to me. I'm going to talk about the brother. John Boyega?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and say it. Why he being the scared Negro?
Oh, here we go.
Every time they show that,
I stayed away from it.
Every time they show that brother, he looked disheveled, out of breath, panic, running. I'm like, God damn! Yeah. Is he the new Jar? He that different Jar Jar Binks.
Wow!
It's the truth. That brother is. Just call it Star Wars Running Scared with the brother. Good luck.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let's put it out there. We're still a minority of Galaxy Far and Far Away. It's the only black character you see. But aside from political, racial politics, what did you think about the trailer?
This is Hannibal.
Oh, hello, Mr. Hannibal.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing, man?
Interesting.
Well, we're gonna cut to you in a second, but I wanted to Ampu to go ahead and answer that question real quick. Mr. Ampu, can you hear us? Oh, I guess he has faded off into the ether. Mr. Hannibal, welcome to the show, sir. I have not met you before, but I'm understanding you work with Comic Book Resources. Is that correct? Can anybody hear me?
I can hear you.
Now he is gone. Ampu, Anthony. Yeah, Anthony, go ahead and answer the question I was asking you earlier. You disappeared or something.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I was saying, besides the racial politics, what else did you think about the trailer?
It gave me faith in J.J. Abrams. Now, I've been a J.J. Abrams detractor for a while. I hate how Lost ended up being. I hate his collaborators, Damon Lindelof. I can't think of the other guy's name off the top of my head. Star Trek, those were two really bad movies. So, yeah. I mean, I did like Cloverfield, and I did like Super 8 to a degree. But he totally lost me with Star Trek. I mean, why the hell are Romulan going to wait 40 years for Spock instead of, I don't know, going the same Romulus?
Stay
or whatever.
Stay on target.
But anyway. Hey, whatever, sir. Point being is JJ Abrams has to redeem himself. And
I'm sure he's crying in his pile of money.
Oh, whatever, sir. Hannibal is
sorry.
On my
carry on. No, never mind. No. Please
stay
proceed
on target,
with your hate.
Sir.
Proceed with your hate.
Yeah. But seeing this trailer, I'm like, okay. This might not be the fuster cluck that I thought it was going to be. It might not be. And maybe J.J. Abrams has been reined in because the Disney machine is like, you don't fuck this shit up. That's what you ain't going to do. And I'm liking the visuals. I'm liking the bits and pieces of the stories being told. I like the fact that there's a marketing strategy that's building to what's going on. And at the end, Harrison Ford, who looks 50, which ain't Sam. Because the dude is 80, but a 50-year-old looking Harrison Ford, I'm like, okay, I'm there. I go lie, I got teary eyed too. I don't even lie. I was like, that's what I want. Mm-hmm. And Ernie, thank you for pointing it out. No CGI. Well, yeah. Not a lot of CGI.
It's minimal.
I was saying, there's no such thing as a lightsaber, is there?
Come on now.
So I should cancel my pre-order? What?
Yeah, what site? Whatever site you gave your credit card to is gone. All right. Well, let's go to Hannibal. So welcome to the show, sir.
Yes, sir. Hello.
So give us a little bit of background. My understanding is you are a writer over at Comic Book Resources, or what's your affiliation with it?
Well, I've been writing a column called The Bipile at Comic Book Resources for, I'm now going into my 10th year on that, wow. Which is a major accomplishment. That's I was recently told at a comic book convention that I've made more money in comics than most of the people I know.
Wow.
So that was entertaining for me. I also am... I've worked in journalism for a lot of years. I was a managing editor of Rap Pages. I worked at Vibe, Source, MTV Online, all kind of places like that.
Okay.
And I also am a comic book writer. I've written, I won the Top Cow Talent Hunt in 2012, which led to writing Artifacts number 35 for them. I'm writing a series of source books for Aspen Comics right now, the Fathom source book, Soulfire source book, which are like official guidebooks to their universe. The first two are already out, and I'm working on Executive Assistant Iris source book right now, which hopefully will be out around Comic-Con, if I understand correctly. And nice. So those are the things that are in the market right now that I have going on as well. I worked as a web designer and producer and project manager for, you know, big companies like Kaiser Permanente, Toyota Motor Sales, so on and so forth. That's what I do to pay for the kids.
So the pedigree is there. The pedigree is there for
it's
sure.
It's an overachieving ass Negro, huh?
Well, or you could say other people are slackers. I wouldn't, but I'm sure you could.
Well, with that said, we say congratulations on Thank that. You. And we're going to definitely follow your situations going forward. Now, I'm going to ask you, what did you think of the second trailer to Star Wars, The Force Awakens?
I was actually much happier because our mutual friend Mo Kelly posted somebody had stitched together both trailers, which actually is even more awesome. So, but I'm pretty pleased with what I've seen. To a certain degree, we have better representation of females. We have better representation of people of color. We have really engaging visuals. We have really engaging story. The Chewie, I'm home, didn't get me teary eyed because I was like, I don't really know if Harrison Ford's really ready to step back into the scoundrel role after being this stand-up guy in movies for all these years, but I'm looking forward to seeing him try. What really did it for me was, because that's absolutely Mark Hamill's voice doing the Force is Strong in My Family part, and he hasn't lost any of that. Moreover, he's so much of a stronger actor now after doing all the voice work as the Joker. And I mean, if you saw his turn on The Flash recently as the Trickster, I mean, dude is a monster actor. He is a monster. And I think he's finally really going to get to bring that home to the Star Wars franchise. And I'm very excited about that. So overall, you know, I mean, I saw Star Wars, the original film, in theaters 40 times in 1977 with my mom. She took me. I'm encouraged and I'm cautiously optimistic.
All right. So you're saying there won't be any more power converter lines?
Well, if there's one thing you need to know is that the Skywalkers are a bunch of whiny farm boys. So wherever they are, there will be whining, some whining and somebody's going to get their arm chopped off. Wow. You're going to see it.
Touche. Yeah.
All right.
You know, if you got a problem with that, then you're probably in the wrong franchise.
Right. All right. Mr. Sean Hill, what's your take on it?
Everyone knows my stance on trailers, but you know, come on, it's Star Wars.
I was wondering.
I had to make an exception for this. I love what I saw. I think everyone's pretty much hit on everything that I took from it. Luke's speech, and I think Dave Droppin said the same thing I was thinking. He uses the present tense when talking about Darth Vader.
And we
get a shot of the melted helmet, which I'm wondering, did he, you know, during the Ewok celebration, did he go grab that or something? But that was interesting to me, and I'm wondering too who he's talking to, because someone had said to me at my job they think it's Han and Leia's daughter maybe, but or child, but he says my sister has it. He doesn't say your mom has it or, you know, your grandfather or whatever. He says my father. So I don't know who he's talking to. But the thing that really struck me the most, Han Solo's delivery or Harrison Ford's delivery of his lines has more life than any lines delivered in the first three prequels. And that to me was because those prequels are so stilted, so rigid, so just the delivery of the dialogue is so it's just okay, we're gonna have a free, you know, carefree kind of attitude, which is something that was sorely lacking from the first three, you know, a sense of fun.
That's what I was about to say. So you're saying that the actors are actually having fun on the set?
I would think so. I mean, did anyone look like they were having fun in the first three movies?
I mean, they were.
Jar Jar had fun.
Well, yeah, you see what happened with you see his role got significantly cut from movie to movie. So
that's because you people don't know how to have fun. That's why.
Damn.
But yeah. So the guy that doesn't like trailers likes this trailer. And I'm excited. I'm going to the film. I don't know if I'm going as a critic or a 7-year-old boy, probably a little bit of each. But I'm ready for it. December cannot come soon enough.
All right, Big Sexy. Now you always say you're a Star Trek guy first.
I am.
So with that in mind,
hater,
what did you think of this?
Well, as a Star Trek guy, let me go ahead and double down on what Ann said about J.J. Abrams fucking up the franchise, but, you know, we'll leave that alone. Now, having seen the trailer several times, the first thing, I got to agree with everybody else, the lack of overuse of CGI made a big difference, and the scope, and I don't know the names of the ships, I'm glad Ernie, you know, called those out, of the Star Destroyer being buried in the sand like that, to me was really reminiscent of the scene in Planet of the Apes where you see the Statue of Liberty buried in the sand at the end. And then you see these other things, all the stormtroopers. Okay, so the black guy was scared. Big deal. Let it go. Other than that,
every scene?
Let it go. It's two scenes. Let it go. And seeing the Darth Vader helmet all, you know, jacked around, and Luke referencing, you know, him, his sister, who we did not see. And then here comes Solo, actually 80, looking 50, and I'm excited for it. You know, I'm looking forward to this because it looks like when J.J. Abrams, I'll give him this, it looks like he saw those three prequels that the world hates and said, you know what, we're not going to go this route. And he went back to making a film that's actually filmmaking instead of a bunch of computer guys sitting around a render farm making a bunch of CGI animated doohickeys. You know, this looks a lot better than anything we've seen in those last three films. And it looks like it really connects well with the original, you know, universe. And again, I'm not the big Star Wars head, but and I doubt I'll make the midnight run for this, but I'm sure I'll see it the first couple days.
All right. A couple of standouts for me was, and I don't know why, but the chrome stormtrooper with the cape. Just visually to me, that was just, I was like, damn, that shit's filthy. I don't know what's going on. The sort of Sith guy that they show, again, I don't know much.
Kylo Ren.
I don't know what's going on with him, but it looked badass. I was like, okay, it looks dope. Now, again, Darth Maul looked badass in the trailers too.
Yeah.
Wasn't necessarily used properly. So again, just going off the trailer.
He was badass in the movie. They just
for the second he was in.
Killed him.
Yeah.
For the second he was there. So I don't know how they're going to play with these characters either. But
well, I should offer up a couple of notes here. The lines that Luke said in the trailer are literally the lines that he said, with the exception of "and so do you," from Return of the Jedi. They're literally the exact same lines. He's just re-delivering them. Mm-hmm. And you can tell the difference in the timbre of his voice there. Second, there's a rumor. Now, this rumor is not confirmed, so please don't try to, you know, say you heard it from me. But that the Gwendolyn Christie from who played Brienne of Tarth in Game of Thrones is the Chrome Stormtrooper, which with the cape would work. Likewise, so y'all can get out all your beef with me early on, I am one of the eight people in the entire universe that loves the prequels. So take that as
there
it
you go.
Oh, get this dude out of here, man.
But so, yeah, I did like some of the stuff I've seen. I like that they didn't show Luke. I hope they don't show him in the trailers. I want them to save that for the movie. No one mentions her. I don't know if that's good or bad, but they don't show Princess Leia either. I like that.
Come on,
I'd rather they keep them. Let's save something for the damn screen. So I hope
that sounds like something I would say.
Well, I mean, for this, I care about this franchise. This is something that I am really into. So I like the fact that I don't necessarily know too much about what's going on. Save the meat and potatoes for my money when I come to the screen. So I like that they don't show some things. I like that they show just enough till I'm like, you know what, visually fantastic. It looks like it's an adventure. The John Boyega, he looks interesting to me. I'm like, I want to know what's going on. I understand he's a stormtrooper. I want to know what's going on with him. I'm curious to know who Luke was talking to, right? I assume that was Luke's hand we see touch R2-D2 there. Yeah. I was like,
Seems legit.
I was like, all right now. We got something going. To me, putting Han Solo and Chewbacca in there, I feel like they had to give us something from the past, and I love how they did it. Though I will say, Chewie looked, I was like, okay, something just a little too newish about Chewie there or something.
How he looked that damn good?
He got his hair did.
he was 200 years old. Remember, guys, he was 200 years old in A New Hope. So Wookiees are very long-lived dudes.
Yeah, he seemed to look better now. So I don't know. Maybe he
got that L'Oreal. It's hard to know.
Yeah, he's eating something. Something going on with Chewie.
I got I got the obvious question. No one's mentioned or said anything, and I say it every time. Where the hell is Coke 45?
Oh, I know.
Where? This is the most Billy important D. question of all. This is the Where's most Billy important D. question of all.
Where is Billy D?
Well, bring no, back
we, well, we see that he's going to have a comic book series, right? I saw that was announced.
You mean the one that doesn't have any black creators on it?
Well, you know. That's something for you to fight for.
I'm in this by myself. Is that what this is?
I just give him my is? Money.
We'll have that and further discussions at Comic-Con.
Well, there you go. But I mean, yeah, where is Billy D? Well, I hope they surprise us with an appearance of Lando. That would be fantastic.
I mean, well, I like Billy D, you know, he's available, I'm sure.
Okay. So, question. Since we're getting all of this nostalgia for the Star Wars franchise, they're bringing back these characters that we knew from the original trilogy. At the same time, they're trying to bring in these new actors with these new characters. Do you think that they might pivot because people might be clamoring more for Han and Luke and Leia, depending on how this goes, plays itself out? Because, you know, there's belief that somebody, one of them is going to die. Do you think they still, that they built the next few films around the classic characters? Or do they still decide, you know, we got to get these new characters established and make this new, these new Star Wars films about them?
Well, you're forgetting that there's more than just a new trilogy, that they're doing the spinoff films, too. So the young Han Solo film is pretty much on the books. You know, the Boba Fett film is pretty much on
I
the books.
I think that's a mistake, the young Han.
I'm not saying, you know, Disney wants to get some kids in here, so Disney don't care about what you think about the mistake. yeah. But like I said, it's pretty much on the books. So whether or not Harrison Ford can survive another plane crash or not, you know, there's going to be some Han Solo up in this piece, probably.
I think having a young Han Solo after you just bring Harrison Ford back as that character is as big a mistake as having a Flash movie with a different actor than the current Flash television actor.
We agree completely there. I have a huge, huge, huge... Unless they say that it's Wally West in the movie.
Yeah. Even still. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, I don't... It'd be interesting to see what this movie's about and how they go forward with it. That's sort of what I'm a little apprehensive about. Will these new characters work? And what if we just want to see Luke? Like, I'm curious how that happens.
I'm saying it now. It's going to work maybe 50% of the way. Everybody's going to want the original OGs. They want to see their story.
I think your nostalgia is disturbing because there's a lot of people, like my kids grew up in the Clone Wars. They don't know who Luke is.
Damn.
They don't even like Luke.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of kids who like Star Wars who are not really super fans of the original first three movies.
You know what I think is that this speculation. I stay away from as many spoilers or things that people say, but I think what will wind up happening with these new movies is that the older cast will be pivotal to the storyline, but won't move the storyline. I think that's going to be up to the newer cast to do. And that, okay, say the storyline has something to do with Luke and the past. Okay, there. That's why he has to be there. But the actions that take place, he might have somebody, I need for you to do this and that. And then we follow that, the new person go out and do this and that. That's how I think it's going to play out. The older folks are going to be pivotal to the primary story, but don't play out the action of it. That's going to be up to the new folks.
Yeah, I agree with you. I want the folks to be more on the newer, you know, characters, and definitely don't want to see Princess Leia in the gold bikini.
Personal foul.
I'm sorry. Now, am I mistaken? Han becomes a Jedi, right?
Get out of here.
You
I'm
are
asking, turn his mic off.
You are completely mistaken. No,
okay. Well, yeah. Well, that aside, I must see Leia do one lightsaber duel. I got to see that.
Oh no! Nah, have you seen Carrie Fisher?
Look, Christopher Lee is damn near dead, and they had his character doing lightsaber battles.
He showed up. Christopher Lee showed up.
I'm not talking necessarily age, sir. I'm talking. How do I say girth? Maybe I'm trying to be as polite as I possibly can.
Look at the recent photos. Carrie is smaller than Christopher Lee was. Okay, don't be a hater.
I get that there are different rules for female actresses as opposed to male actors. However,
by your standard, yes.
However, there is going to be that. However, there is going to be that nostalgia as well as a newness of seeing not only a female Jedi kicking ass, but Princess Leia as a Jedi kicking ass.
Hey, I'd like to see it too.
Well, there's another character that they haven't shown in the trailers yet. What's the young lady from 12 Years a Slave? I always butcher her name.
Lupita Nyong'o.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we have yet to see what she's doing in this movie, right? So I'm curious what her part.
She's probably going to be running if John Boyega's character is in the
here you go. Here we go again.
I'm sorry. Hang on. Before, can we get that Lowry's out of his hand? Because we need him to stop the on it.
Come on. I'll let it go. I will let it go for now.
Thank you.
Yes, let it go. Mike, thank you.
I've got three things on this. You know, first of all, is in terms of Boyega, I hope that there's context at least. I mean, going on because I didn't mention it, although it was in the back of my head that he's always running scared, and every time that you see him right now, and I hope that there's some kind of plausible context behind all that. Otherwise, it's really going to be dumb. But so I'm hoping that there's something there. Secondly, on the trailer. Again, the CGI thing, I don't think it is, but that one scene, it looks like they're in a hangar and that TIE fighter's moving sideways blasting. Is that an actual prop set?
It could be a miniature. It could be a miniature.
Right, because it doesn't look like CGI to me. And I saw that, I thought, oh, yes. Just from the way it moved. It didn't move fake. It moved realistic, So, I mean, I was taken aback by that. And then, lastly, you have not broken your vow yet or your rule yet, Sean, because it is technically a teaser. But will you break the rule and watch the trailer for this?
I probably will. It depends on how long it is. Because this is, I don't know, I don't really consider this a teaser. This is pretty much a trailer. I mean, I know the difference between the two. But, I mean, this thing runs, what, almost 2 minutes. So it would seem that it would be a trailer, but I would probably make an exception. I just, my stance is especially nowadays, they feel they have to give away so much, but it's Star Wars. You don't have to give away anything. Just right. here's the title. Here's the date. here's in it. And it's not called Star Wars 12 Years a Stormtrooper. It's called Force Awakens.
Oh, my God. 12 Years a Stormtrooper.
I like coming that deep, one. Rick. Coming deep.
That should be a T-shirt for sure. All right. I think so. That's Star Wars. There's much to be said. I mean, we're all going to give it our money. I don't want them to put any more trailers out, personally. Just leave that.
You know what? You're right, Michael Dean. You're right. I agree with that.
I agree with that too.
I'm already hyped. You don't need to show me anything else. I'm already hyped. Like just seeing that Han Solo pause looks good. I'm hyped.
There you go. All right, let's jump into something else. I know we're going to be going back and forth on pause. Batman versus Superman. Dawn of Justice, if that's what
Boy.
It's called. Let me start this one off. Hold up, God damn it. Listen, I love this trailer. Let me say why I liked it. I got a kick out of seeing the people's reaction. It looks like they're going to deal with the aftermath of Man of Steel in terms of when Superman was fighting and the demolishing of the city. I get the impression that some people are praising him as, he's sort of presented as a savior type of character. And some people are questioning, like, this dude is too far out there, man. This guy's dangerous. He destroyed things. I like that. I was asking for that sort of story to be played. I didn't know if they were going to do that in this. Apparently they are. So I dig that, right? I'm like, okay, yeah, that's what I want to see what happens. Batman, only a couple of shots. When they first show Ben Affleck, he looked like he's pissed or something. Yeah, that's cool. But the shot real quick of Batman coming out of, I don't know, some sort of fiery thing is quick. But I just said, they got my man yoked. He looked like he ready to get it busy. I'm all in. The shot of Batman standing on that building or whatever, and he looked like he got the sniper rifle type grappling hook thing from the Dark Knight book. I'm all in. I'm curious of what's going on with Superman again. There's those soldiers that they showed Superman. He seemed like he's going underground. and there's those kind of Nazi type soldiers, and they look like they got the Superman insignia on their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, what is that all about? I'm very curious. So for me, I'm all in. I want to. Now, I know they're going to spoil the hell out of this movie, the trailers, but at least for this initial part, the only part about the story I can understand is Superman is being questioned in terms of, is he a threat to humanity or not? And I want to see that kind of story, right? So I'm all in. They're going to throw in Batman, and then they show the part at the end with Batman, you know, do you bleed? I'm all in.
Okay.
Some people may call it corny. I don't care. I thought it was badass. I'm like, this is the movie I've been waiting to see. So that's my stance.
Let me ask you.
Go ahead.
Let me ask something else, Mike. What do you think is the purpose of that trailer?
To get people excited about the movie.
Okay, if that's the purpose.
I mean, movie don't come out for a year.
Yeah, and if that's the purpose for me, it completely failed then, because I'm not hyped up over it by seeing
that.
If anything, I'm confused. And that's about it. I'm confused as to what's going on and why. But I not confused in a way like, oh, shit, what's going on? I got to find out what's going on. Not like that. Not like, more like, what's going on?
For me, it seems, and I've said this before on the show about what the way I see it, this seems to be reactionary yet again. Clearly. So, mm-hmm. And I think we've all said it that I want to say Q-Storm has said it the most, that they don't seem to really have a plan. They seem to be echoing everything that Marvel is doing.
You mean kind of like how Convergence does a world full of cities in the same way that Marvel's putting together a battle world? Wow,
oh,
yeah.
God, don't start. Don't start.
Too soon?
Fuck. Too soon? I'm tired of that.
But for me, the thing, and I'm going to not say a phrase that a certain someone on this show wants me to say, but this is a Man of Steel sequel, right? So where's the Man of Steel? I mean, hey. The infamous
getting Shanda.
The emphasis seems to be on Mr. Affleck, which is fine. If this were his movie, but it's not. And then the whole thing about him being a savior and all that, we've covered that in Superman Returns. Why are we now we're doing the same thing, or they are doing the same thing again? It seems like that didn't work in that movie. So what makes them think they're going to do anything different? From what I've seen, it looks like pretty much the same stuff that went on in Superman Returns.
I need to go watch that movie because I don't remember that.
Well, there's so much symbolism about him being, you know, Christ, and Lois Lane's writing an article about, you know, Superman still needed or in society or something like that. I mean, if you want to go watch it,
you not talk about Superman Returns. Thank
you. Okay, but I'm just saying. All right, but I'm just saying. To me, it just and Q-Storm said, you know, call his agent Cavill. It's almost like he's being pushed out of his own movie.
Not a sequel to. I mean, in a sense, it's not really a sequel per se. They said they're going to do a sequel to Man of Steel. This is Batman the start of their universe.
I haven't seen that.
This is the start of the Justice League. That's what this movie is. This was supposed to
be the sequel, though, and then they said they're not going to do that and changed it.
Right. Yeah, so that's not what this movie is.
But
it's called the Dawn of Justice.
Right, but from what I've seen, from what DC is planning for their cinematic universe, there is no Man of Steel sequel plan.
No, they did say they were going
to
do it.
Right now. I'm Googling a little image right now that says all that. Hang on.
Yeah, they did say they were doing one.
Well,
they say lots of things.
But this is not that. So you're right. This is not that movie, and it's not presented that way. It's called Batman versus Superman.
From looking at their future list of movies from 2016 to 2020, there is no Superman movie other than this one.
He is correct.
And the movies that are coming out, we all know. That whole slate of movies is bullshit.
Well, let's stick with this.
I'm just saying. So, I mean, repeating, they haven't gotten Superman right yet.
They haven't.
And it's almost like, okay, well, we didn't get him right. Let's move on to Batman because that's hot. That's still hot. So you know, let's focus. I mean, hell, it's called Batman versus Superman.
Exactly.
Batman is getting top billing in a Superman movie.
Well, it's not a Superman movie.
Clark is chilling. One more can you say? Top billing.
Yeah, it's not a Superman movie. That's the thing. You're going into it as a Superman, but it's not. It's not built that way, and it's not titled that way. This is titled as Batman versus Superman, which to me, if they never released an trailer, that title alone, I'm going to see what this is about. It could be ridiculous, but that kind of title, the kid in me, I have to see that movie.
Well, I mean, I'm even looking at Wikipedia, and it says Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice is intended to be the sequel to 2013's Man of Steel.
Now, did you see that before I edited the Wikipedia?
I'm just saying,
Wikipedia. I've seen it in multiple sources too. He's right.
I mean, and whenever this thing comes out, I'll get the press kit, and I'll say, but what I'm saying is, they're just for me. I'm more of a Superman fan than a Batman fan. And was kind of looking forward to the sequel, especially with the way Man of Steel kind of ended with, you know, him transforming kind of into Clark Kent. And, you know, it looks like they were going to go that route.
Well, I'll say this. They show Superman more in this trailer than they do Batman.
Yeah, you're probably right. But there still seems to be more of an emphasis on Batman, I think. Do we even hear Superman talk in this?
Nope.
We don't even know if we hear Batman talk necessarily either.
That's Ben Affleck's voice.
Well, again, we don't necessarily know.
Come on, family. Come on now.
That's his voice. I mean, come on.
If I may interject.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
My issues with this is I'm just confused by this, and I don't understand why DC is continuing down this road of we need these superhero comic book based films to be dark and gritty and grim and brooding. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, that's easy. Christopher Nolan, you may have heard of him. he didn't make a squad of money. He didn't make a group of money. He made a gang of money. Digging down into the deep and the grit and elevating the heroes and not having lozenges. So with all that in mind, the powers that be at Warner Brothers, they were like, look, we don't have a plan. Like Marvel's been planning this out almost, you know, from their mind, but they might have been doing this since Blade. They don't know. So DC is like, we don't have a plan and we don't have time to come up with a plan. So let's do what this guy did because that made a lot of money and let's roll with that. Yep. Let's get Aquaman in the grayscale, Unite the Seven and looking all mad or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And we're going to try to roll this play because it's the best they can do. Reactionary tactics. And if you look at DC and if you look at Warner Brothers over the last 30 years, reactionary tactics have been all they've been able to pull off. As a corporate culture, that's what they do. They don't innovate. They react.
Okay, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
It is when you're sitting on a potential $20 billion franchise.
Doesn't mean it won't work. I mean, shout out to...
I'm calling it right now.
Samsung. There's a lot of companies that copy other companies that are very successful.
Also, however, let me also note that the one time they did try to be funny, we got Green Lantern.
And that was horrible.
Just going to put that out there because they can't synergize it the same way Marvel does. Marvel has a formula that is incredibly difficult to replicate.
You're right. It's incredibly difficult to replicate. However, if you get, I think, 12 people and actually some of those people being from the comic books themselves to help give you that authenticity and say, no, you shouldn't do this or this will resonate with this. Then you can put together and build a plan that is cohesive and will be true to the characters and at the same time be fun and engaging to the fans, which these movies, if it wasn't for the fact that I am a comic book geek, I wouldn't have any interest in going to see this.
Do you mean like the way that Jeff Johns consulted on Green Lantern and is consulting on Batman v Superman? Do you mean like the way Dio from DC Comics is involved with all that? Do you mean like the way that DC moved their entire editorial operation to Burbank in order to be closer to the movie studios to synergize? And they're coming up with the same plans that are appearing in the comic books? Is that what you mean?
You know I kind of like this guy, man. Well, go ahead.
Well, see, that's different.
Oh, I'm sorry. Your debating skills have blown me away, sir. Please carry on.
Because I'm thinking at the end of the day, you still have these CEOs playing that are risk averse that said, no, let's just do with Christopher Nolan. But I'm just saying, in theory.
So you think Jeff Johns isn't saying that?
No, I don't believe
that. Not saying that.
I'm sorry. I do not believe that Geoff Johns has the final say on anything over there. Maybe now, the television.
He definitely doesn't have the final say, but if you think he's not nodding his head in a meeting, you're adorable.
You're adorable.
It's terrible. But back on target. We strayed far away. Anyway, but looking at the trailer on the merits of the trailer, I just don't like the story that's being told as far as this godness. So I saw a tweet and it was just perfect. They said they really took a 5 to 6 page fight between Superman and Batman in a 4-issue Dark Knight Returns and built a whole movie around it. And it's just like, that's exactly what they're doing. It's like, yeah, you can't build the, you really can't do that just based on that stuff, because the two are just different. Superman is hope, and he is like, he's coming to Gotham to put into this vigilante. This is just diametrically opposing viewpoints. And you just can't fit Superman into Batman. I know they're trying to, but I'm just like, yeah, I'm just not feeling it. I'm sorry, Michael Dean. I know this is your show.
It doesn't matter to me. I like it. I love
it. It's your show. You're the chief podcast officer or whatnot. I tip the hat to you, but I'm sorry. I'm just not. I am not going to shine this shit up. Okay.
I didn't ask you to do that, so we hear you. Now I want to go to Hannibal. What did you think about this trailer?
I, as much mess as I'm giving it right now, I actually agree that the grim and greedy direction is the antithesis of fun. What I found ultimately in the Batman things, I felt that they had something that I think Saturday Night Live does very well. It was accurate, but that's not entertaining. It's not the same thing. So while they're able to get certain issues of spectacle right, they're able to blow things up in a kind of Michael Bay fashion, and they're able to, and Ricola isn't able to get anything in craft there, stuff like that. And that's all well and good. That's just ducky for people, I'm sure. But if somebody put a big timeline up, right, of all of the Marvel movies and all the DC movies, right, and they put the financial tally of it, and Marvel came out so far ahead it was scary, not just because they're doing more movies, but because the individual movies, pound for pound, were performing better. Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, come on. Nobody saw that one coming. So in that regard, looking at this trailer specifically, I'm surprised to say that I think Ben Affleck was actually a good choice. I actually think Henry Cavill is not a bad choice. I do, however, think that the script and the plot is doing them both a disservice. I believe that while this movie may make money, it will not be. I can go back right now to look at the trailer for Superman 2 and get chills. I remember seeing the trailer. You will believe a man can fly. And yes. I did.
Yes.
I don't believe anything from this. You need more people. I'm not buying it.
All right, Sean Hill, what are your takeaway?
Oh, I said it. I mean, I pretty much feel that this looks like again a retread of Superman Returns. So I
tell it.
Go ahead.
Day dropping. Are you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
What are your thoughts on this trailer?
On the trailer?
Yes, sir.
It's just a confusing trailer. I don't care for it. It doesn't do anything for me. I think it's trying too hard to be like the Dark Knight and that kind of stuff with this darkness and all. And there's nothing fun for me in this trailer.
Christopher Reeve when you need him.
Yeah. I mean, I'll watch it.
Well, I know he's dead, but you know what I mean.
Hey, they could bring him back as a computer.
Hey.
Don't give no ideas
don't
now.
Don't play.
I mean, I'll watch it and everything, but I'm not hyped for it.
All right.
I will say one thing is about Affleck. If you want proof that he can do it, and although I hated the movie, but he gave a great performance in it. Runner. I don't know if anybody saw that. That's a Justin Timberlake movie. Yeah. It's a bad movie, but he is good in it, and he shows that he can pull off that Bruce Wayne swag. So I think he will be a good Batman.
All right, Mr. Big Sexy.
You know, for a film that is coming out next year, DC is just making all these moves. Look at us. Look at me. Hey, I'm over here in the corner sticking the place up. You know, the trailer makes no sense. The only good visual was the visual of Superman floating. And if you think about it, and I'm sure Hannibal will back me on this.
Yes, sir.
Superman doesn't float like that. That's a Black Adam move. Okay? He doesn't do that. You know, so when you have your Man of Steel all dark like that and essentially lording it over the peons, which is something, well, I would do, that is not Superman.
But he did that in Superman and Returns.
Yeah, and nobody saw that.
Nobody said he floated.
Superman Returns.
He floated like that in that movie too.
And nobody saw it.
Sean's holding that movie down.
Okay. And the thing is, and the casting of Affleck was clearly done as a marketing ploy, regardless of how he's going to turn out, because let's face it, he's been dominated as Daredevil from now on, but we're not going to get into that. And the film itself makes no sense. And like Hannibal said, the lack of lozenges on the set, man, I'm just tired of it. You know,
what do you mean you're tired of it?
No endorsements from Hall.
If DC is really going to do something to try to fight Marvel's thunder, which is fine, then they need to do it right. They don't need to put this online. They need to spend some money and make sure it runs in front of every theater where they're opening up the Avengers.
And it is.
It is?
I heard this is opening with the Avengers.
Okay.
So with Star Wars.
Star Wars is Star Wars. Star Wars is a whole universe unto itself, and it can do whatever the fuck it wants. DC needs the rub from these films, and if I'm DC, I'm going to do it here, and I'm going to do it in December with Star Wars. Because if you've shot enough to make a trailer, which makes no fucking sense.
It's a teaser trailer.
It teases nothing.
Well
it does.
All I'm saying is, it's not getting the draws with that tease. That's all I'm going to say.
Exactly.
And they're reacting yet again because of the trailer getting leaked, and now they're scrambling to do this promo thing that they got going on Monday.
Tell it.
They're trying to add more stuff to it. Now, I had planned on actually going and covering it for the show. You know, now I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to go. You know, because it's really, I don't see a point of going if, you know.
Nah, I mean, you got to go, Sean. That's work. Working like a job. You got to go. The rest of us, we're not going.
Side note to Big Sexy's point about and everybody's point about the bad voice. The DC television has shown the best way to alter the voices with Arrow when they had that distorted voice thing. I'm like, why haven't they just done that for the movies? Why are they relying on the actor to come up with a secondary horrible bat voice instead of just going with that voice distortion like they're doing with Arrow and Flash?
Why is Amell not the Green Arrow in the freaking movies? Come on. They can't get it together.
You mean Gustin Grant, not Flash?
No, I want that too. But I'm talking about, there's a picture of the Green Arrow actor looking at the Batman suit like, I could have been in the Justice League movie.
Hannibal, let me ask you this. Have you seen Daredevil yet?
I just finished it on Wednesday night.
Okay, without spoiling anything, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Go on.
Better show. Daredevil, Flash.
Flash.
Ow!
Whoa.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I got to agree with that. It's hard. Okay. The fun factor of the Flash gives it that bit of an edge. And plus, since we haven't seen the full season yet, I think there's three more episodes, really can't say Flash is below Daredevil.
Daredevil,
we saw the entire season.
And moreover, while I agree, Daredevil took an approach that Netflix offers, is that you don't essentially do a television show, you do a 13-hour movie. And that's a way to encapsulate the story and explore characters in a very specific way that's fantastic and really enjoyable. Daredevil is remarkable, and I love it deeply, so please don't take what I'm saying for hate. I'm not Anthony. But what I will say about The Flash is, literally every time something ends on The Flash, I'm like, I really want to watch that episode again right now. I need to go back and reexamine this. I need to look at Harrison Wells' face again on this scene. I need to pay attention to this detail. Cisco alone. I would watch the show almost for Cisco alone, because that dude is freaking entertaining. But
okay, I need to watch this.
I'm glad you quantified it.
Yeah, I could run down a laundry list of the reasons why The Flash is one of the best things I've ever seen. And not to take anything from Daredevil, but I enjoy The Flash a great deal more. A great deal.
All right, somebody needs to send me a link so I can catch up then, because I need to see this, see what the big deal is.
It's called Hulu.com.
I'm not paying for it. Please.
Why would you have to pay for it? I just said, is it Hulu? Is this thing not on? What's that?
Hey, well, I thought Hulu was subscription now.
Sweet, no.
Some shows are free, some aren't.
Then I'll be doing that this week. Take a little flash.
You're welcome.
You know, not to be outdone, Universal Studios is they're putting out their Jurassic World trailer Monday also. So you've got a 1-2-3 punch. Hey, we want a piece of this.
There's a lot
pie as well. Yeah. Did you guys see the new poster for it? It's Ron Howard's daughter. She's like standing at this glass, and there's like a T-Rex on it. I was like, that's badass right there. I'm in.
My last question I ask you guys again. We've heard, so Star Wars came this week, pretty much just took the life out of everything. Superman, Batman tried to show up. They're fighting for attention. When you talk about Jurassic. The week previous is Avengers, and I'm sure next week will be some more focus back on them because they're coming. But where's Ant-Man?
Oh, Ant-Man threw down. I love that trailer.
I'm not looking forward to it. I'm sorry. I'm not really looking forward to it. I mean, I give them the benefit of the doubt because, I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy, I wasn't that hyped for it, and they produced $1 billion movie. But these trailers are not doing anything for me.
You know, I disagree because I went into Guardians with a real jaded, funky attitude because these aren't the Guardians that I know. You know,
I was looking for Starhawk. Please tell me you're
exactly.
Not looking
for Starhawk. I was looking for Starhawk, Charlie 27, and all that. And so when I saw that, I was very, very surprised by it because I expected nothing. Ant-Man, same thing. Not a lot of hype around it. I mean, the trailer looked interesting. Hey, man, you know, to steal from Sean, let's wait till you go see it. You know.
Thank you.
All right. Since we do have a comic book, another comic book hit on the show, I want to go and ask. There's a lot of books, and we'll do it for the last 2 weeks. The last 2 weeks, give me your spotlight books. Two, if you can.
All right. Well, let me flip over to my column at Comic Book Resources so I don't have to use my own brain here. That's 2007. I don't want that. Let me.
Whoa.
Because I flipped to a link that was open, and unfortunately it was open to. Oh, the first thing, if you're not reading Shaft by David Walker on Dynamite Entertainment, you're missing, literally literature blowing up the friggin' spot. You have to. Please go read Shaft. Oh my God, it's so good. So that's the number one book that I've been loving pretty much this year. I was really upset because I was in the running for some awards, and I was like, why did he have to release his book in the same year as me? And predictably, he kind of kicked my ass. But I have the utmost respect for David. I've known him for years. He's a wonderful human being. So Shaft, and also, I got to say, I'm enjoying the Darth Vader book from Marvel. That they really took the reins in a way that Dark Horse didn't, that I'm enjoying a great deal. Two other books, Astro City is still really, really great. But
yes.
People don't believe me when I tell them. One of the best science fiction books on the stands right now is Transformers More Than Meets the Eye. It is scary how good it is. This James Roberts dude, he's just blowing down the house with the writing he's doing on that. So if you're into sci-fi, if you're into character development, if you're into intricate, well-thought-out plots, you got to be looking at Transformers More Than Meets the Eye. It is not a toy comic. It is not. It's on some whole other stuff.
Hey, they should hire that guy for the movies.
Yeah. No, Michael Bay wouldn't get along with him. He wouldn't wash Michael Bay's car. I'll put it that way.
And you mentioned Shaft. Is this the black private dick that's the sex machine to all the chicks?
Damn right.
Watch that.
Yeah, it's really like Shaft year one, and the way that he's developing the character is just, it's amazing. And the art is crisp. It's like you can literally feel like you're in New York in the 70s. It's amazing.
As long as you don't go to Africa.
All right, well, that's cool.
Is that what we're going to do?
I'm going to check out Transformers, so hopefully that don't let me down now.
But not just Transformers, but Transformers More Than Meets the Eye, because it's two books. Don't get confused.
All right. All right. Excuse me. My man is gone. Big Sexy, what were your picks of the week?
You know, it was a pretty slow week, man. I mean, I did like this week. I'm enjoying Superior Iron Man, you know, because I like what they're doing with that. But I got to tell you guys, and Hannibal, you know, feel free to chime in because you're in the media, as is Anthony. The Convergence buildup, I'm not getting it. Okay, so it's not just me then. Okay, well, good.
Can I admit that I actually kind of like the book?
Here's the trailer. Did you like Secret Wars? Let's do that again.
For some reason, I've read issue 1 and 2, and I don't know, hate me, because I kind of was like, it's kind of cool. It's stupid.
So you're admitting you like stupid. I just want to put that
yes,
on the
record. Yes, I said, you know, something about this, I was like, I kind of want to read the other books, but I haven't, but I was like, I've never read any of these types of stories before. I usually stay away from the Secret Wars and all that kind of stuff. So I was like, I don't understand how this is happening, but I was like, it's some bullshit, but I'll check it out.
And that's how the terrorists win.
There you go.
You know, I mean, so there's that. See, the last couple books have been pretty low key because nothing has really stood out. I mean, I'm open to some suggestions because I've probably read everything, but it's all just, and on the Marvel side, we're all going to, oh, Secret Wars is coming. Secret Wars are coming. I don't give a damn. I saw Secret Wars in 1984, been there and done that. You know, the Thor, you know, the chick Thor, old, tired of it. This from, again, and I'm an old fart, so this reminds me of back like in 92 where you had Thunderstrike coming along instead of Thor. You had U.S. Agent instead of Captain America. You had War Machine instead of Iron Man. You had a different different Green Arrow.
Scarlet Spider.
Oh, God. The Scarlet Spider. You know, a different Spider Green Lantern. You know, come on, man. It's just too much.
Did you see Shadow Show number 5 from IDW, the Ray Bradbury book?
No, I did not see that. Should I pick it up?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The way they did Bradbury, they treated him right on that. That was really worth seeing.
All right. And Pooh, what do you got?
I didn't pull anything this week. I'm still waiting for Invincible, the new issue to come out. God damn you, Robert Kirkman.
I got two real quick. Best book out there. One is Secret Identities. What's this guy's name?
You went for that.
Jay Ferb. I like the writer stuff. What did he do before?
Noble Causes.
Noble Causes.
I like Noble Causes.
So, yeah.
I love Noble Causes.
So, Secret Identities kind of has that same kind of flow to it. So I'm digging that. And then the other one is that Millar book, Chrononauts.
Yeah.
I like that.
Pick of the week on iFanboy.
Really?
Yeah. Speaking of iFanboy, I got to put Hannibal on the spot.
Yes, sir.
Ron Richards has stepped down from Image. You know anything about that?
Image, no. I haven't been up on, because I'm normally too busy like doing stuff and making stuff, so I don't really pay attention to the gossip, unless it's about me getting a check. So, yeah, no, that one in particular, I was at WonderCon intensively, and there was no scuttlebutt about it at that point, but there's all kinds of things I don't know.
All righty. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap things up with that. But before we get out of here, we go around the room so you can find us online if you must. And we'll start with our guest, Mr. Hannibal. Where can the listeners find you online?
Well, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, and probably two or three other platforms I've forgotten, like Plork, as Hannibal Taboo. Yeah, I was on Plork. I was like one of the 8 people there, too.
I don't even know what the hell a Plork is. I'm in social media.
Exactly. You know, I go back before Friendster. I was back on Black Planet. So anyway.
Hilarious.
But, and that's Hannibal Taboo, one word, no funny spellings, et cetera, et cetera. You can also find me at the Operative Network, which is a creative studio for artists and writers making material with my creative partners there. And every week I'm at Comic Book Resources with the BiPal. That's every Thursday. And, of course, HannibalTaboo.com is my own personal clock tower.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, sir.
Yes, sir. Happy to be here.
All right. Mr. Ampoo, where can they find you?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Apu. You'll find me a new column with 411 Mania and at KnockoutNation.com.
All right, Mr. Sean Hill.
All right, you can find me on Twitter at Hill Street Views, also on Facebook, Sean Hill and Real Movie Talk, and also the blog, hillstreetviews.blogspot.com. Next review up will be Ex Machina coming this Friday, so look for that.
Oh, yes.
Sean.
Yes, sir. Machina, but
yeah. I was going to let him go.
I was walking by it, too. Yeah, I was still sitting there.
Well, Aunt, Mr. Segu, do you have something you want to say to me?
And with that, Mr. Big Sexy and Sack, where can I find you?
Oh, God. Facebook, under Mark Wiggins, and on Twitter, Big Sexy and Sack.
All right. And you can find us on Facebook. Just look up Podcast Juice. Also on Twitter, at Podcast Juice. And, of course, the website, podcastjuice.net. My name is Michael Dean. Michael Dean. Is that my name today? Yes. And with that, we will see you later. Peace.